Chapter 1. The rules were made up by some guy named Ted who ate a quarter pounder for lunch and has a dog named Wedgie. Or, surprise, nobody actually knows what they're doing. God. Now there's a fun-filled topic. If we were really ambitious, we would just dive right into the most controversial subject imaginable. Given that this audiobook contains all sorts of controversial ideas, and it does not get any more polite from here. Now might be a good time to go fetch the vodka and maybe a defibrillator. Don't worry, this is not a book about God, nor is it a book about Ryan Gosling, second in command. But it is a book about authority and becoming your own. It's not always easy to follow your dreams and ride off on this magical carpet made of sweet tarts and sugar plum fairies. It's not easy to trust yourself radically or make bold choices that other people will not agree with or live life on your own terms. It's not easy to roll up and be like, yay, I'm going to quit my job and be an artist, or yay, I'm going to go open my own bookshop, or yay, I'm going to skip around the Swiss Alps and make cheese in a loincloth and yodel in the afternoons and tell my overbearing sister to shove it. Even in an age when all of these options are more available to us than ever, most of us are basically just drifting along every day trying not to get cancer. But even when we do dare break the mold and try something new, the world throws us some serious side eye. Who does she think she is? It won't last. This is just another one of her big ideas. So in response to the world's censure, we shrink. We second guess ourselves. And we secretly wonder if maybe they're right. Maybe we should play it safe and bide our time and be grateful for what we've got. Which, by the way, happens to be some of the world's worst advice. Being grateful for what we've got is why so many of us end up staying in dead-end jobs that have us licking envelopes inside a dimly lit six-person office in suburban Philadelphia. Definitely been there. Why so many women end up staying in relationships they do not want to be in. Why so many of us end up living lives that feel stale and dull and dreary and uninspiring. And why so many people end up resenting their every minute from the hours of 9 to 5, being mean to call center agents and rolling their eyes at babies and fantasizing about being hit by a tractor trailer and rushed to the hospital so they don't have to keep doing this crap. That was so me once upon a time. We are all trying so hard to be these level-headed, responsible, card-carrying grown-ups that we trade in our sense of adventure and curiosity and wonder and creativity in exchange for what we think is a secure and reliable future. Assuming that the more constipated your face looks, the more seriously you will be taken. Now that I'm wearing this sensible pair of pantyhose, everything is going to be just fine. Back in the day, when I was still a very good girl, I wore those same pantyhose and I drank milk and I never talked back to authority. In fact, I loved authority. What took me a lifetime to discover, though, is that authority only works as long as you trust that someone smarter than you is making the rules. Take my first boss, for example. Worship the guy. I was young and hungry, and he was supportive and encouraging and kind. When he spoke, it literally felt like I was receiving advice from the Dalai Lama. When he handed me my paycheck, he made me feel as if I just earned a gold medal. When I called in sick, he would call me and ask if I wanted soup. I mean, it was probably from a can, but like same, same. And then one day, I walked in and I saw my coworker straddling his lap. Ran out of the room as if I had just seen a ghost. I knew that he was married with a wife and kids who all went to church and ate their Wheaties. But even more shocking, when I confided in my other coworker about what I'd seen, she fell to pieces. Turns out, she had also been having an affair with our boss for years. I know! I'm hardly the first woman to discover that some guy who seems so nice was actually the Duke of Douches in his personal life. Still, it was a defining moment for me. And soon I realized that maybe adults weren't these profound, all-knowing wizards after all. Maybe they weren't these supremely wise, enlightened beings. And maybe their opinions about life and what I should be doing with mine were, dare I say it, fallible. Over time, it became overwhelmingly clear. Everyone really was just making it up as they went along. A mentor of mine, who pronounced sci-fi like sky-fi, quickly cemented this notion. The realization that no one actually knew what they were doing was terrifying. It's like, you take out a mortgage for 30 years. No, you take it out. But it also emboldened me. If the rules were made up by some dude named Ted who had a quarter pounder for lunch and a dog named Wedgie, then they really didn't hold that much weight, did they? Who says my resume needs to be kept to one page? Who says that sitting at a desk for 8 hours is the responsible thing to do? Who says that happiness comes from settling down with a nice young man with a decent golf swing and a good-paying job? Not that good-paying jobs aren't delicious, they are extra delicious. But I couldn't help but feel like there had to be so much more to life than a 401k and a crockpot full of ham. Truth is, I'd always imagined that there was this high and mighty committee of true and actual greatness, if you will, the universal they bestowing us with this series of carefully crafted guidelines according to what was best for humanity. Sort of like the USDA when they tell you to eat your greens, I had always just assumed that the collective wisdom was actually wise and that the more experience on this planet you have automatically equaled more knowledge. I assumed that they were hard at work advocating for the greater good. But as it would take me great pains to discover, there isn't anybody out there advocating for you. Your own happiness is sold separately, and there is no such thing as the Committee of True and Actual Greatness, or even a guy with a dog named Wedgie. It is up to you to become your own. So as it turns out, radical self-reliance changed everything for me. I went from being a lost and confused stray, queen of late cell phone bills, uncertain about everything, flighty with my every move, trying really hard just to make a grilled cheese, perpetually consumed by this dumpster full of existential angst, and eventually, even landing myself sleeping in a Kmart parking lot, to learning how to trust in my own voice, say screw it to anything that didn't resonate, believe that my own ideas were actually valid, even if they were drastically different from everyone else's, have the courage to let my passions guide the way, start my own creative writing company, design my life the way I wanted to, which, by the way, including choosing not to have kids or a goldfish or even an address in the United States, travel the world, and give the middle finger to so many of the normal ideals and expectations that society markets to us as good. As a result, I ended up inventing an all-new kind of job for myself that previously didn't exist as the founder of a kick-ass unconventional company, also lovingly called the Middle Finger Project, that runs purely on my creativity, lets me be myself, allows me to have fun with my work, gives me the freedom to travel where I want, allows me control over the way I spend my time, earns me a weirdly obscene amount of money, but do not worry, I have not been responsible with it. I don't have to beg for time off to go to the gyno. I don't have to pretend to listen in on conference calls with China. I don't have to label my yogurts the way I labeled my childhood diaries. Property of ash, open and you die. By learning to become radically self-reliant, I custom made my own role instead of being forced to retrofit myself into someone else's idea of what work should look like. Because if all of us are just making it up as we go along anyway, we might as well have a good time with it. So I'm grateful to say I finally feel as if I stepped into the most unfuckwithable version of myself as this woman who actually enjoys her life and lives a much different version of it than most people do. And that's what's neat. In the decade and some odd years since, I really haven't looked back, which is kind of a record for me since I used to question every decision I ever made. The way I got here, however, was not by dutifully obeying the rules. I got here by disobeying them instead. And that is what this audiobook is about. Unlike the rah-rah powder puff brand of cheerleading you might think of when you hear the mildly mortifying term self-help, don't worry, we can just call this help. This audiobook is intended to be a bad influence, but a bad influence in the best way, because the argument here is simple. Radical self-reliance comes from following your most dangerous ideas. It comes from making the dangerous choice, not because it's dangerous, but because it is big. Too many of the choices we make are small and they're safe because that's what we've been taught to do. But by putting stock in your most dangerous ideas, you will do far bigger things than you would ever do otherwise. And isn't that the point? To live a life you aren't embarrassed to be living. My promise to you is this. There will be no safe advice. There will be no cutesy adages. There will be no whitewashed images of me holding a golden retriever on Instagram. There will be no 10 minutes a day to gratitude, no instructions to drink more water, and there will certainly not be any mindfulness meditations. What there will be, however, is a lot of blunt talk and honest insight laced with sarcasm, F-bombs, salty pizza pie, because salt is better than sugar, obviously, and also because sometimes we need the salt to burn, make us feel something, to wake us up and give us the courage to become dissatisfied. To rethink what's actually possible, to make that dangerous choice, and to start your own middle finger project today. So, if you are someone who's feeling a little lost and what the fucky, if you're disappointed by the way things have turned out, if you're sick and tired of feeling stagnant and restless, unfulfilled and kind of numb in your career, in your life, grab a jar of pickles and let's roll. First half of this audiobook, it's all about the art of trusting your most dangerous ideas. I'll tell you about the really great job I had but left and why, including the scandalous encounter I once had in a public bathroom that made me rethink it all. We'll talk about what you should really do when you have this existential career crisis and you want to do something new, but for the life of you, you don't know what. Hint. Pump the brakes on grad school, listen to this audiobook first. I will tell you the truth about finding your passions and the real reason why so many people struggle to figure out what they want to do with their one dull and insufferably dismal existence, cured only by the nectar known as cheese. Guilty. We'll also talk about why quitting is actually the smartest thing you can do in today's economy, what to do when you feel like a flaky fruitcake who stops and starts, can never seem to get it together, and how to get enough nerve to ignore the dream zappers, including your mom and your spouse and that one friend who's just looking out for you in order to do something more riveting than the laundry. Then, second half of the book, we're going to move on, go deep, talk about all the things I wish I knew when I was just striking it out on my own. So things like, sometimes you've got to be a bitch about money. My favorite! Or sometimes you've got to be brave enough to cause problems, even if they are your own. You'll learn how to take whatever knowledge you do have and turn it into a job you love versus some bullshit job you're just going through the motions of every day. Why starting small is actually terrible advice. And how to recover from anything being thrown your way using my break glass in case of emergency approach to money and moxie. On that note, we're going to turn you into a modern-day gladiator who laughs in the face of perfectionism and workaholism and imposter syndrome and all of the confidence traps that one can find themselves in. But by that same token, you're also going to learn how to be a mother to yourself when you need to. Because women, frankly, we are killing ourselves, and it shows. We're too generous, and we're too giving, and we're too invested. We need to learn how to be selfish. There's no shame in being difficult or bitchy or demanding, ladies. Yet this is a skill that many of us have yet to acquire. But you are allowed to want better for yourself, to do something that you want to do, to take up space and to impose. Because real talk, while there very well may be a supreme being and all-powerful ruler worthy of human worship, or as Urban Dictionary defines God as, just another celebrity asshole whose opinion on the consumption of pork has been a matter of hot debate, my money's on you. This is about becoming your own committee of true and actual greatness. This is about learning how to appoint yourself.